Okay. Perek Tes Pasuk Hey. Vatoimer El Hamelech Malka Shva says to the king, Emes Hadavar Asher Shemata Biartzi, it is true that I've heard in my land, Al Divarecha V'al Chochmasecha, concerning your words and your Chochma, that everything I've heard about your wisdom is absolutely true. I come here and I see the incredible Chochma in your Malchus, and I acknowledge everything that I've heard is true. Pasuk Vav Lo Hemanti Lidivrehem. She confesses that when she heard the report of Shlomo's Chochma, she originally did not believe their words, ad asher bossi, until I came myself, vatirena inai, and my eyes beheld personally your wisdom. And the truth is, they have not even told me half of the enormous chachma. Yosafta al hashmua sher shamati. You have added more to the report that I have heard. Pasuk zayin ashrei anoshecha. Beautiful praise. Ashrei anoshecha. Praiseworthy are your people. Ashrei avadecha. Fortunate are your servants. Ela ha'imdim lufanecha tamid. Ha'imdim lufanecha tamid, that stand before you constantly, continuously, v'shoyim mitzvach masecha, and hear your words. I remember many years ago, when I was a student in yeshiva, they presented Chanukah, it's when I learned this in Chanukah, a gift to one of the Rebbeim, a collection of, they collected a lot of money, gave them a whole lot, a nice collection of svarim, and they inscribed one of the svarim as, you know, the gift, the presentation. And in the presentation, in the inscription was this pasuk. Ashrei anoshecha v'ashrei avodecha elu ha'imdim lufanecha tamid v'shoymim es chochmosach. It's very interesting.
The student,
one of the students who was given the task to write the inscription in the...
They gave themselves a brook.
I guess so. It's a very nice pasuk to say to a Rebbe that Hashemim es chachmasecha, Oimdim lufanecha tamim, Hashem es dechachmasecha. Very interesting pasuk. This is the pasuk. This pasuk, I think, is identical to what it says in Sefer Melachim. Pasuk Ches, Yehi Hashem Elokecha Baruch. Now she gives the bracha. This is the goal. The goal is that when the nations of the world, they recognize the greatness of Klal Yisrael, that caused them to bless Hashem. That's the ultimate success. When your actions, when your deeds are a source of inspiration for other people to give to bracha to Hashem, a kiddush shem shemayim, Yehi Hashem Elokecha Baruch, may Hashem your God be blessed, Asher chafetz b'cha, who has chosen you, l'sitcha al kiso lemelech, that for you to sit on the throne of al kiso lemelech al kid. Now here's a very on his throne, kiso lemelech, l'Hashem Elokecha. It is interesting that she says kiso. Kiso means Hashem's throne. It's one thing that the pasuk tells that Shlomo sat on the throne of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but Malchus Shva to say the same thing, it's a little bit interesting. Al kiso lemelech, that Hashem has granted you the power, the authority to sit on His throne as a king. La Hashem Elokecha, for Hashem your God. Be'ahavas Elokecha es Yisrael. It's only due to the love that Hashem has for His nation. La hamido le'olam, to establish them forever. Vayitemcho aleihem lemelech, He has thus chosen you, the wisest of all men, to serve as their king. La'asoyis mishpat utztaka, to do for them mishpat utztaka. In other words, the proof that HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves His nation is that He has raised, nurtured a person that is deserving of malchus. When you have a nation and you have a king, a leader that is not fit for the nation, the result is chaos. It's a churban. And the ultimate bracha a nation can have is that they have leadership that is appropriate, that is proper for their country. And this, you know, the Malchus Shva, Chazal tell us, was from the wisest people of the world. She was the counter, she was a match to some degree for Shlomo HaMelech, at least to some degree. She wasn't a match, of course. Shlomo HaMelech came from the Chachma of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but she was very wise, and her wisdom over here, what we are reading here are words of Chachma. These are words of Chachma. This whole bracha, Ashrei Anoshecha, Ashrei Avodecha, Oimdim Lufanecha Tam, this is not just Stam, an expression that anyone can come up with. These are words which only a very wise person would say. And this also is a very wise statement that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the fact that you are brilliant, truly brilliant, and truly special, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu has arranged Hashkocha Pratis that you should be the king for his nation, is a sign, is a statement from HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he loves his nation. He loves his people. The greatest love Hashem can have for his people is by nurturing and raising a leader, a person who is a leader that is good for the people. These are his words, her words. Pasuk Tes, Vatitein LaMelech Meah, she gave, now the Pasuk tells us that she presented the king with a gift. Vatitein LaMelech Meah Ve'eshem Kikar Zav, she presented the king with 120 talents of gold, Uvisamim Lerov Ma'od, and spices in great abundance, the Evan Yikara, and precious stones. V'lohoya Kaboisemahu, now it goes backwards, that concerning the spices, There does not exist in the world such exotic spices. I think in the Mitzvah it says in Kamos. He somehow does not quantity. Yes, so it's interesting that you would think if not for the Mitzvah, maybe other Mefarshim disagree. But if not for the Mitzvah, I think the simple understanding is that the quality is not what you isn't that the way you would interpret the pasuk.
I would say it's not in that part of the world.
Right, fine.
Not in that part.
That spices were more valuable than money. The word salary comes from the word soul, because every Roman soldier who was paid part of his salt. Because he didn't have fridges, he didn't have everything. That's why Columbus went to America. He wanted to find spices.
Really?
Spices were very, very, very... When a king conquered a country, part of the tribute was so many pounds
of spice.
Let's say pepper.
Wow.
So he gave him 10 pounds of pepper. It was a gavel. So
it's a whole new perspective on these psukim, and absolutely, it's saying over there that the spice comes with samim l'rov, like that's the gold, and the evan yikar is the silver. The spices were more valuable than the actual stones.
And she probably had an advantage because if she was Malka,
the Orient,
the travel coming from the Indies.
So I want to go back to something that we talked about previously. Where is Shabbat? And talk about whether it's from the East or from Africa. Now, because if you want to imply, for example, that spices are from the East, or that wisdom is somehow from the East and not from Africa.
And it comes through Africa.
And yet, Shavuot is from Chum.
It's East Africa.
There's no way of knowing really where it was. The art scroll, I was looking yesterday, the art scroll, Divrei Hayamim, Rabbi Eisenman, he says that according to some of the commentators, Shavuot is Yemen. Yemen. That's not here, not there.
Exactly, spice.
That's not exactly here.
Well, it was on the route. The route from the East Indies.
How does
went through the Indian Sea and went.
Yeah.
Or they took camels from Eilat, or they actually traveled around Africa.
Okay,
but he has other. Was a lot of this again. A lot of Yidalach were involved in the spice trade in the early years because that one of the routes were they brought it from East Asia to Africa, to Mitzrayim. I'm sorry, to Egypt, which is let's say there was no canal, but they still were able. They had routes, and from Egypt they went through the rest of the world. And one of the routes was through Yerushalayim Damascus, let's say. Another was by boat. So a lot of the middlemen were the Israel who were...
Okay, could be. All right, but look, I don't think it's known with clarity where was Shavuot. I mean, you're going back so far, there's no way to really know. And he does see, I don't know, he presents an opinion that it was Yemen, and he seems like that's one of the main opinions. And he says in other places, I don't remember what he says, but from Rashi, it's more Mashma, it's the Far East. It's the Japan. I don't know, somewhere all the way down there. It's not really clear. Okay, whatever it is, but she praises him and she gives him all this gold and she gives him some 120 talents of gold. Some lerov ma'od ve'evin yikarav lahoyak. Now it's like loykan kevoyse mahu asher nasna lemalcha shva lemelech shlamo. If you would not look at it in the mafarshim, you would assume that means the quality, the potency of these spices was unmatched in the entire world. because that obviously Eretz Yisrael, I mean, even the Chazal tell us that Eretz Yisrael has everything, you know, this is a challenge in Chazal, if you want to say it like that. If you want to say that the quality was the best, but doesn't Chazal say that Eretz Yisrael is a land where you'll have everything?
Everything is developed.
No, so that's some will say that you cannot let us say that. Some of them, some people will tell you that there's such a chazal that Eretz Yisrael is blessed with the best of everything that there is in the world. Now, today in the 21st century, we're in Golis. You know, obviously, people are not going to go so not going to stretch it that far. Okay, but in time, this is Shlomo HaMelech. This was a time of when it was ripe for Mashiach. His success was off the charts. So at this point in time, if there was ever a tkufa where Eretz Yisrael was blessed with the ultimate blessing, it would be now. So then it would not be appropriate to say that they had in Shva things that they did not have in Eretz Yisrael. Therefore, l'chore, that's why the Mitzudos is coming to protect this Chazal and translate the words here. It does not mean in quality, it means in quantity. Which is a chiddush, which that's what he says. I'm not making this up. It's a whole different mahalik in understanding this pasuk. Okay.
They had to bring wood from Lebanon.
Oh, so they had to bring wood. Yeah, so seven. So also, maybe it means in quantity. Maybe it means the same thing as well. They had very high quality wood in Yerushalayim, which just wasn't sufficient for the magnitude of the Beis HaMikdash. Doesn't say that the quality, doesn't say anything with the quality of the wood was greater. I don't know. Maybe yeah. Maybe not. Maybe a different mahalakim. We're learning Mishnah in the pasuk. So does that also reflect the quality? I don't know the answer. I don't know. Well, you know, the Arma Farshim, there is an approach. I do remember learning this. That the Shlomo HaMelech did not need. Again, this is a minority opinion. Did not need the wood and the supplies from Tsar. The only reason why he asked Tsar to send wood and to send his craftsman was because he wanted to bring him in to the building of the Beis HaMikdash. Being that the Beis HaMikdash is a base tefilo l'chol ho'amim, he wanted to give the Umos Sa'olam an opportunity to participate. But if you don't want to participate, we'll go out, we'll do it alone. I don't need you. We have plenty of stuff. Why do you want him? Because Chiram was a representative. That's the simple understanding. Probably 90% of the Mepharshim will say that because the Klal Yisrael did not have the talent.
He was also Ben Yisrael. He just happened to be living there.
That's another discussion. Was he Ben Yisrael? But he's being that he lived there. He definitely connected with that nation. If he was living there and he even had the same name as the king, it was a coincidence that his name was Churam, and the same name of the king of Tsar, a very big coincidence, according if you want to learn that approach, which many of us are saying is correct. So what's going on here? Obviously, he may have been Jewish, his mother may have been from the Shevet, his father from the Shevet. So what are you living there for? A Jew belongs in Eretz Yisrael.
Abarbanel was here, and
that's Golus. Abarbanel is talking. There was no Eretz Yisrael. Talking about Abarbanel, Eretz Yisrael. Well, there was a handful of Jews living in Eretz Yisrael. Even that, there was no living in Eretz Yisrael. I don't know what was going on exactly, but there was no Yishuv in Eretz Yisrael. It's talking of Golus. Here, the vast majority of Klal Yisrael are living in Eretz Yisrael. A Jew belongs in Eretz Yisrael. Doesn't belong living in Tsar. What is he doing there? Obviously, even if he's Jewish, somehow he relates to this country. So when Shlomo HaMelech is recruiting him to do avod in the Beis HaMikdash, what he's really trying to do is to give the Umos HaOlam a chance to participate. To participate, send us your craftsmen, send us your supplies, and you can take pride in having a part of this project. You don't want to do it? We don't need you. We have craftsmen, we have talent, we have supplies, we have raw materials. We'll do it ourselves. It'll be just as good, if not better. We're doing it for your benefit. This is an approach. I don't know who says this, but I've definitely seen this. I've seen this approach. And Malka Shiva was... So what, how did this relate to Malka Shiva? She's providing over here. So she's just giving over here a gift. The gift of the Boisa Mahu. Here it says this expression, V'lohoye ka Boisa Mahu asher nasna Malka Shiva le'melech Shlomo. Okay, let's take a look at the words of the Mitzudos and then Rashi. Pasuk Hei Vav Zayin Ches Tes. Mitzudos David, pasuk, there is no pasuk, start from pasuk Vav, your safta, she said to Shlomo, your chokhma has exceeded my wildest expectations. Your safta, hachokhma nimsa bach merubu yosem yashahu gali, your chokhma is greater than what has been told to me. Pasuk ches, ba'ahavas, and I recognize now that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he loves his people. How do I know Hashem loves his people? Because he selected you, he brought it about through Hashgacha Pratis that there should be a person like you in this country who rises to the top to become the leader. Ba'avas ba'avur she'Hashem oyves ha'Yisrael she'yiskaimu li'olam, it shall exist forever. L'zeh he'midicha, Hashem established you, limloich bam, to rule over them, lanhigam b'mishor, to guide them in righteousness and in uprightness, lifi roi v'chachm, according to your abundant chachm. It's a very, very powerful Musa Haskel. We look today at politicians in the secular world, and it's a sad state of affairs. And does that mean take this pasuk and you translate that into modern times? Does that mean that HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't like the country? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not pleased with this nation, and the proof is, Leiv Malachim B'Yad Hashem. The bigger something, the more something has an effect on people, the more you cannot say that it's just a coincidence. There's definitely more of a Yad of Hashem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings about that certain people they take on positions of leadership in the Umos HaOlam. What does that say for their people? What does that say? What's the Hashgacha Pratis? Like HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying, I don't care for you, and therefore I'm putting these leaders.
Yeah, the saying goes, you get the government you deserve.
Uh-huh. Well, that's what this pasuk really says. This pasuk is saying this Hashgacha Pratis, and who a leader is. And if Hashem brings it about that there's a special leader, that's a sign that Hashem loves the people. Okay, let's go further.
It's a special smart leader.
A smart leader, a leader who knows what to do. Yeah. V'lohaya kivaisamahu itzudas David says something like we said this, we explained this. This is just shocking what he says. This is not what the average person would say. Bekamus rav me'od, in quantity. Does not say in echos. That's not what the average person would say if you ask me. Read the this pasuk to a child, to a person, any person. Not any person. What does the pasuk mean? Quality or quantity? I think the average person would say quality. And he says, no, it means quantity. Okay, next. Okay, let's take a look at the Rashi's. Rashi pasuk avav. Chatzi hamarbis. Ribui hachochma. Half of the increase. Which is nothing more than an expression of the abundance of chachma. Okay, that's it. Next, let's go to the. Now we come to.
We say that. I didn't what? Believe half of what you.
Right, right. It's an expression. The expression over here comes from over here. This is where it comes from. Okay, now we come. Now I don't know. I didn't see pshat. Now what's going on? Apostle Gid, all of a sudden, in the middle of discussing Malach Hashva, we throw in. A pasuk about churam. What's this doing here? I don't know. I didn't see any mepharshim talk about this, but it is a little bit strange. We are not yet finished with Malkah Shva. We're still discussing Malkah Shva, and here in the middle of nowhere, we throw in a mention of churam, and he also gave gifts. He also gave gifts to Shlomo. Malkah Shva was not the only one. The gam avdei churam, the avdei Shlomo, the servants of churam and the servants of Shlomo, they went on a joint expedition. They went out to conquer the world. Whether they went north, they went south, they went to the far east. Asher heviu zav me Ophir. Where is Ophir? So some say Peru. Where is Peru? You know what Peru is on the map? So that's what some want to say where they went. Asher heviu zahav me Ophir. They brought gold from Ophir, from Peru, or not necessarily is the Peru, so that's one interpretation. Heviu, they also imported atse algumim. Atse algumim is a certain type of wood that's soft. It's a soft wood which you're able to shape. Most wood, but it's not just that it's precious, it has a softness which allows it to be shaped. It's a very big chokhmah. It's a very big chokhmah to shape wood.
Like a rubber wood.
You have to go look at these I don't know, pieces of furniture, or you go into these beautiful buildings and they have wood and the wood is shaped all different sizes. It's a lot of work. You have to steam it. The way they do this is they steam it and they put in molds and braces. It takes forever. It's very, very expensive. So if you're dealing with the right material to start off with, it makes it a lot easier. And it appears that's exactly the nature of this, called the Yatze al Gumim. The Evan Yikar, they went on expeditions, they went out to the world, they conquered, they traded, and they brought in these things, gold from Ophir and Atze al Gumim, the Evan Yikar, three things they brought in. Vayas, what did the king do with the Atze al Gumim? Vayas Hamelech es Atze al Gumim Misilos lebeis Hashem. He used it to pave the floor as a misila. Misila is a path, as a path to the Beis Hamikdash, the Beis Hamelech, to the palace. V'chinaros unevalim lasharim. He also used this wood. This wood is ideal for musical instruments, harps and flutes. Lasharim, for shar means for the singers. People, sharim means people that play musical instruments. V'loy niru chahem lefanim bi'eretz Yehuda. This wood never appeared before in Eretz Yehuda. Did not exist. This was an import that was unique for the time. Atze al Gumim, that was used to pave the floor to the Beis Hamikdash and to the king's palace and for musical instruments. And one quick thing before we go read into the Farshim, which musical instruments were used for the Atze al Gumim? So we have two interpretations. Either they were used by the Levim when they sang Shir. When they sang Shir, when they offered the Korbanos, they played with musical instruments, and the musical instruments were fashioned from the Atze al Gumim. The second interpretation was, no, not for the Shir, it was used to the king. When the king would walk, on the royal, the orchestra. What the United States also has, they have a band, what is it called? They have a
room. No, but it's more like British, but we have the Royal Philharmonic or something.
United, the president also has. He also has a
Marine band.
The Marine band, especially. So when the king went from place to place, then they would play with these musical instruments. It just reminded me when I went to the installation of my cousin, Rabbi Dr. Meir Yaakov Soloveitchik, in the Spanish Portuguese synagogue. The custom there is, whenever the rabbi goes up to speak at the podium, he is accompanied by the choir. The choir, they sing. He walks up to the podium, up the steps to the magnificent Aron Kodesh, and he bows before the Aron, and then he turns around and he gives his sermon. When he walks up those steps, the choir sings.
He didn't
talk about turkey. Turkey he did not talk. He talked about Thanksgiving. He talked about the origins of Thanksgiving.
No.
What?
Not to eat turkey.
Okay.
About this Peru theory, I had never heard of this before, but I was discussing it with somebody, and they claim that, well, first of all, we know Peru had gold. The Incas had gold.
Yeah.
But he says that supposedly, some years ago, they found this stone that they call Solomon's Stone, and it has writing on it. And it's unusual writing, and that the civilizations there did not have writing as old as that stone was. So supposedly, they think it somehow relates.
Recent Virginia,
talk about Virginia. Talk about Peru.
Okay.
Supposedly, that the story came out, and then
the writing
was, and supposedly that has something to do with it. But who knows?
The writing was also good.
From Peru? That the stone came from Peru?
It was found there. Yeah.
The stone was found in Peru.
Yeah.
And they want to say that Shlomo, what? It came from Shlomo HaMelech?
It was
an exchange? Okay, interesting. All right.
The writing was also written, the writing on the
stone? I didn't
see
the writing.
Oh, it was Hebrew writing?
It wasn't the Inca type writing, let's put it that way.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let's look at the Mitzudos David. The Mitzudos David, Pasek. Okay, Mitzudas David, Pasek Misilos, Pasek Yud Aleph. Misilos, Hu Haliyah. Shazochel Mala. So here this Mesila, he says, is the same thing as what says in the beginning of the parak. There was an aliyah, means a ramp. There was some type of ramp that went from the king's palace to the Beis HaMikdash. That's the same thing. Aliyah means like a ramp, like a road, a path, a ramp that went from the home of the king of Shlomo, the palace, to the Beis HaMikdash. Shazochel Mala, Shoyke Ein Mesila, and it was paved with this Atze Al Gumim. If you look on the Metzudas Tzion, what is Al Gumim? Hu Hepoch Min Al Mugim. There's another more common word called Al Mugim. The Gimel and the Mem are exchanged. First comes the Mem, then comes the Gimel. That's the way the word appears in Sefer Melachim. So what is going on? So the simple answer is that in Sefer Divrei Hayamim, the language changed a little bit. Over time, we all know that there are new words in the dictionary words. The way the words are pronounced, the way the words are used are different. So this was just a modern update from the time of Ezra Nehemiah to the way the language was spoken, and it's the same exact thing. It illuminates yucca, a certain type of very expensive type of wood. I saw somewhere in the Mishmas of Zaf, he presents, I don't remember who he said the name of, is that this Atze al Gumim was a type of wood that was alive. In other words, there are plants. Plants are alive, right? Yeah, you have leaves. Leaves are alive. They're alive. And the proof is when you take it away from its source, they wither. They're dead. Then there's wood. Wood is not alive. Wood is a doimim. Wood can last until it decays. It can last hundreds of years if the environment is right. There's no moisture. A piece of wood, how long can a piece of wood last before it decays? I don't know, hundreds of years, maybe even more. As long as there's no moisture and everything is okay. What?
Stone is
not. Stone for sure. Stone is not as susceptible to decay, even if the environment is not ideal. But wood is sensitive. Wood does not last forever. The teva doesn't exist. Right? The teva, Noach's teva, Atze Gopher, where is the teva? Does it exist today? So the scientists. That's a very big question. How in the world was Haman able to find the teva? According to modern science, there's no way that wood would last from the time of the marble. Certainly not to today.
One of the astronauts actually believed that he found the teva in Turkey.
But they say it's not true, right?
That same hoax popped up.
I don't know. It's not really likely. Modern science does not believe what I've heard, what I've read, is that it's possible for wood to last that long. So they find in Turkey, they find that they think they have the table, they know what it is. All right, whatever it is, it is. Ahare Ararat. But
although the time of Esther.
Yeah. As you just said, so Mordechai took Haman took a beam from the table that was 50 amos tall. So was that to be taken literally, or is that a mechaza? Is that a medrash? Okay, maybe no, possible. We don't know.
If you really mean it, can that medrash be taken literally?
You're right.
And maybe
yes, maybe not. Okay, we don't know. We don't know. Whatever. But the point I want to make of here is that there's always an item that is in between. There are four levels. There is daimim. Soimea chai medaber. Daimim means an object which has no life. A rock, earth. Daimim. It's inorganic. Then comes Tzomeach. Tzomeach, how do you translate it in English? Something what's
organic?
Organic? Tzomeach is organic. Okay, it's something organic which has life. A plant. A plant is a piece of blade of grass. A plant. A tree. This is a Tzomeach. Then comes a Chai. Living creatures. Animals. Insects. Animals, rodents, all these fish, these are chai. And then comes the medaber, the human being. So the Mefarshim tells us that there's always something that's in between one and the other. What is in between a chai and a medaber? It's a chazal, a monkey, a koif, a monkey. A monkey is in between. What is in between a tzoneach and a chai? There are certain plants that are, but the algumim is something that's given as an example, which is in between the doimim and the tzemeach. It's not your ordinary piece of wood. It's a piece of wood that has some quality of tzemeach in it. It doesn't die. It's not like you're going to pave the road with this piece of wood, and the next season. That's it. It's just leaves.
The modern almagim is coral.
So what is coral?
Okay,
yeah.
So coral is live, and it's not live. It's piece of stone that's live.
That's sort of between the domain and the...
Okay, so maybe that's what it is. So what is crinal coral? Yeah. What is coral?
Because it grows in the water, it actually grows and it's live, and then under certain conditions it dies. It's like stone that they put in aquariums or...
And it's alive? It's like a stone?
Not at that point, but in the water.
Okay, so it could be. So it could be it's something like that. That's why it's called that's algumin.
What about some of those fish? And that's how Jastrow translates it as well. He draws a
coral
alguma, but almog, which is the other version as we see here in the Targum, then he translates as coral or coral wood.
Okay.
Type of cedar that's
okay, so that's what it is. It's but the chiddush of it being used is in this sense that it's the in between. Between the doyneim and the tzmeach, that has significance. What the significance? I don't know, but it has significance in that Shlomo HaMelech is building the Beis Hamikdash. Every part of the Beis Hamikdash has very great symbolic meaning.
I thought that this coral considered something between.
Yes, that's what we're saying. We are saying coral is in between the doyneim, the inorganic, and the organic. It's in between as qualities of both. Okay, let's go further in the Mitzudos. He took the coral, this algumim, and he used it for a path to his palace and to the Beis HaMikdash. And then he took the material also to use as musical instruments. The musical instruments were le-sharim, who are the sharim, le-mesharim, for the singers. Does not tell us which singers they were. Were they from the Levim, or were they from the private choir of the king?
The Levim was...
Yes, Levim in the Beis HaMikdash, but there were other people who would sing before the king that were not necessarily Levim. So the different groups of Sharin, Kohen, Baruch HaGodel, and they did not exist. So again, the Mitzudas here does exactly the same thing. He says, V'loi niru Kohen, Lefanim be'eretz Yehuda, same thing, it does not mean they did not exist. It did exist in Eretz Yisrael, but did not exist in large quantities. Again, this Mitzudas doing the same, Lefanim, Kohen, Mazman Hazeh. Now let's take a look at the Rashi. Rashi pasik where we up to chatzi pasik vav pasik yud at say algumim in Rashi meforish bepsikta. It says the psikta is a medrash, right? The psikta was psikta rabasi. It's a collection of midrashim. Kosev echad one pasik says al mugim. That's what it says in Sefer Melachim.
The psikta, but that's more likely where.
Okay, there's more than one psikta. So medrash.
Kos
vechad emer al mugim, v'chos vechad emer al gumim. Ella. So what's going on with the contrast? Ella answer is Ella al gumim shemam. The real name is al gumim. What it says here in Sefer Divrei Hayamim, v'nikra they're called al mugim. Lefisha, why was it called al mugim? So in Sefer Melachim is telling us that that's the real name. In Sefer Melachim it's called by the word al mugim, the mem, because when the mem comes first, lefisha hayam mismogeik. Mismoge means it can stretch, right? Is that the correct Hebrew translation? Moge is to stretch. Our
piyut.
Birtzel
so kiyeh kiyeh
ne
kiyeh
ne
hachan. Birtzel so mismoge.
Yeah.
To stretch. To stretch v'nich.
I think it's the glass blower that you can.
You can stretch it and you can shape it. Mismoigeg v'nichpof, to stretch and bend. That's why it was changed, because when you put the mem before the gimel, moig, it comes from the word stretch. It's like clay. You can mold it to different shapes with ease, with great ease, instead of hard wood, which is very, very difficult to shape hard wood. Yes, algumim. That's why we're changing letters from algum to almugim. Due to its softness, like glass cups, which is nichvaf mitoch chashivuso, which is bent and is shaped due to its chashivus. They take this material and they shape it in different forms because of its chashivus. Mesilois madregois. Okay, it says he made now a mesila. So here the Rashi is not learning like what the Mitzudos said. Mesilos here he loosely translates as steps. Madregos. Uv Melachim, ksiv, it says misod. Now Melachim, the same parallel pasuk, does not say the word misil, it says a misod. A misod is, it's not clear what a misod is. This is a foundation. What does it mean? Kederch sh'oisim lo'ilim b'derech ma'alois u'madregos. It means like a platform, a resting area. When you cut... So the Yeshayim misod u'mesil echad. What? Okay, so it means like a landing area. A landing area, a landing area where the staircase leads to, where you, where everyone comes to. They make like they make for people who go up steps and ladders to have before you go up the steps, there's a landing area. So there's a steer there in Sefer Melachim refers to the Misad. Here refers to the actual steps. Before you go on the steps, there's a very beautiful lobby or landing area that precedes the steps. So similarly, what it says in one Sefer, what's lacking in one Sefer is filled in the other Sefer. The Yeshayim, like basically what the Mitzudos says is that Misad, the Mesila, Echadim, they are really one and the same. Okay, then it says here that he made musical instruments of this beautiful wood. It was for the Levim that would sing the musical instruments. Rabbi Elazar Zazal Perish. Rabbi Elazar, who's Rabbi Elazar Zazal? Anyone who Rabbi Elazar is? Probably one of either Rashi's contemporaries or it's not really Rashi. We don't know really who wrote this. Perish. This does not refer to the Levim. This refers to a professional choir that would accompany the king when he would go on his state visits. Dugma vayishiru chamisha el, like it says in Sefer Melachim, vayishiru Shlomo Hamelech had composed many songs. He was a big composer. Chamisha of Elif, he made 1,005 songs. Now, of course, the ikar part of the song are the words, but the words obviously were accompanied by a melody. Haim, they are shira shel chol. Those are songs that are mundane, that did not make it to the level of Ruach HaKodesh. She'asal l'sharer l'fanav, that they would sing before him l'tayel, as he would travel on his journeys. Similar when Yeshayo was killed by Paro Necho, what does it say? Yirmiyah lamented, he eulogized, and he was accompanied by the male singers and the female singers. Can you imagine? Today they would put him in cherem. They would put Yirmiyah in cherem that he's loud. Yeah, of course, we know that. Times have changed. But it says Hasharim veHasharos, the male singers and the female singers. They sang Kolisha, yes me a Kolisha. So one answer is they sang, it's more than one. What is the ultimate heter for Kolisha? Only a solo is also. When more than one woman sings, this is mutter. No, this is heter number one. Heter number two, they're singing together with men. So it's also their voices drowned out. And number three, they're singing here as a eulogy. There's no yetzahara when you're in front of a mace. It used to be, in the olden days, it was unheard of to have a mechitza in a chapel. Today it's really not so. Today all the chapels.
If you don't have a mechitza, they won't be maspid.
It's not true. What, really?
Yeah.
Really?
I had Rabbanu told me that if you don't put up a mechitza, we're not coming in to be maspid.
Really? You heard
even though they were sitting separately with an island between
us. Really? That's shocking.
The Yitzhar of today.
That's shocking.
Why is it shocking?
I'm shocked to hear that. It's very recent. One of the very chapels that was very used was Shomer Hadass, the old Shomer Hadass in Fort Hamilton. Wasn't so long ago. There was no mechitza. There was no mechitza. Jeffers has no mechitza. It still doesn't, right?
I don't know.
Doesn't exist anymore. Yeah.
Kirschenbaum, this guy over here.
They don't have a mechitza Kirschenbaum. No. On Avenue M, Midwood. Midwood and Avenue M is used by all the B'nai Torah use Midwood. And they don't have a mechitza. So it's shocking what you're saying that the Rabbanim would. So
look at the Munkacha wedding, there was no mechitza, you had women running there. You look at the
Eretz Yisrael. So what's the, of course not. So what's the answer? The answer is there's no Yetzirah. The whole reason why you have a mechitza is because of Tarim, it's because it leads to Lehil, Kalas Resh. At a Levaya, people are in a different frame of mind. It's not going to come to the Kalas Resh. Sending over here, when it comes to Kolisha is not nothing inherently wrong. It's not Erva. There's no din erva in Kolisha. Kolisha is a geder of Kalas Roish. Nemela, when the Meshuras, they're singing in sadness, in eulogy over the loss of a person, that's not a prohibition of Kalas Roish. There's no issue whatsoever. Bizman hazeh, okay, so we're a very, very weak generation. Yes?
There was a bunch of women who were walking through the men to get through and no one bothered them.
The Eretz Yisrael.
The press said, so you see that it can happen.
Eretz Yisrael b'chlal. They're not as machmir on taruvus of men and women.
They had a court case because the chaver kaddish didn't let the women.
Not machmir, never
said. And the women said, "I have my father just died. I want to be master then." And they went to court. And
yes.
The court said, "There's no such halacha, and you have to let the woman get up there and be master."
So what happened?
The women are master.
Okay, fine. But I go to and I went to and I, my brother got married to Eretz, so we went to Eretz Yisrael. So there the chuppah. It's not like in America, everyone sits right. On the left. Everyone stands around. And the men and women mingle. Even by the most Haredi weddings, there's some mingling between the men and the women by the chuppah. And by an American wedding, this would never happen. It would never be tolerated for the men and women to mingle by the chuppah itself. So it goes to show that, you know, not everything.
You look at YouTube or whatever, and you see a Hasidic mitzvah towns, they will cloud out the kala and her mother's face.
All right, okay. When I went to Herschel, I went to Chaim Kinievsky. I didn't get in there, but I was just there in the neighborhood, Bnei Barak, and then his Rebbetzin was alive, Rebbetzin Basheva Kinievsky, Zichrona Leracha, and she was Aleh Hashalom, and she was there was a whole group of men and women waiting to get into her, men also. And they were all online together, and they were together, men and women together, waiting online to get into her. Like I thought to myself, in America this would never happen. In America they would never let men and women together in such proximity.
You went to the Dallas for a bar, but she also didn't separate.
Yeah, well, it was separate. What?
My daughter, isn't it?
What, it was separate or was not separate?
Well, I don't think it was separate.
Not true. I went for Dallas many times.
Yeah.
And the men would go, and then afterwards the woman would go. The
not together?
Go, no, not together.
Not, maybe late, maybe the later years.
I went with my children, I went with women, I went to go to Jacob's assembly, we got it. Don't tell me it's baloney. I went and I did it.
Okay, let's go further.
I was alone together with a friend of mine.
I will tell you more that my mother used to walk in the street on Kingston Avenue, and the Rebbe walked by, and he saw someone walk by somebody, and they said, "Sure," he answered back.
The Rebbe always answered back. That's a separate story.
Okay, we have to go further now. Okay, let's go further.
Let's learn Torah.
Okay, so that concludes Enov Kol Hashanim Hashem Yashas. Let's go further. Okay, let's go to Pasuk. Let's go now to Pasuk Yud Beis. Pasuk Yud Hamelech Shlomo Nosal Malcha Shva Es Kol Chefsod. Now this Pasuk we mentioned last week. I want to discuss in more detail. The Hamelech Shlomo Nosal Malcha Shva Es Kol Chefsod. He gave whatever she wanted. Asher Shalah, every desire that she requested of him, the ultimate desire. Milvad Asher Hiviyah. Now this pasuk is very difficult. Milvad, besides giving her everything that she wanted, she also gave him something. It's this pasuk, the construct of the pasuk doesn't make sense. You're changing from person to person. We're discussing the pasuk is being written from the perspective of Shlomo. He gave to her everything that she wanted, and suddenly the pasuk shifts besides what she gave him. Doesn't make sense. And indeed, in Sefer Melachim, it says, Milvad, what he gave her. In Sefer Melachim, it's written the way you would expect it to be written, that Shlomo Melach gave her whatever she requested, which seemingly refers to Chochma. He answered all of her riddles, besides the physical gifts that he bestowed upon her. But that's not what it says here. He gave her whatever she wanted. Seemingly, he replied to all of her riddles, besides the physical gifts that she gave him. So let's explain. Milvad asher hivia el hamelech, what she brought to the king, period. And then it says, after everything was said and done, here is the end of the sugya malka shavah. Here's where it comes to an end. Vatahapoch, she made an about face, she turned. She turned 180 degrees. She went back to her land. She and her servants. Okay, we're not going to go through the whole sugya. We discussed last week the significance of what does it mean she turned around. It does not say the word about Tapach and Sefer Melachim, and the difference of what Malkat Shva represents, the Mos HaMashiach, the Nevuah, the Nevuah, the Mos HaMashiach, and the time is going to, and the failure of Shlomo at this time to actually take her Tachas Kandaya Shechina. After everything was said and done, she went back to her old ways, to her Avodah Zarah, and to her land. Now let's first take a look at Mitzudos, Rashi, and then we'll discuss a few little things. Pasuk Yud Beis in the Mitzudos. Kol Chefsa. Me'advadim ha'yikadim sherasa b'Bei Shlomo. He gave her whatever she wanted. So according to the Mitzudos, it appears that this Pasuk means he gave her gifts. Physical objects. Shlomo gave her a tour. And when she saw something and she was in awe, Shlomo said, "You like it? You could have it." Like someone says, "I like your tie. You like it? You could have it. You take it off. You could have my tie. You like my scarf? You like my suit? You're the same size. We're just about the same. You could have it. You take off your clothing. You could have my clothing." So that's really what it means here. According to the Mitzudos, he gave her a tour. She saw certain things she liked very much. She said, then the pasuk changes from him to her. So, whatever the Mitzudos says, that's a stop sign. Now, you learn Rashi in the Gemara, whenever Rashi says the word kloimar, you learn the Gadaf Gemara, and Rashi says kloimar. So, you have to know when it says kloimar, that's like a stop sign. Not one stop sign, that's like 10 stop signs with all these warnings. If you go through the red line without coming to a full stop, you'll get fined and you lose your license. That's the word kloimar. It's a very heavy duty 10 points off your license going through this stop sign without coming to a complete stop in the Gemara. Rashi means the Gemara here is not to be translated literally. You have to add a significant degree of bayer explanation to understand what the Gemara really means. That is the rule of learning Rashi when you learn a Daf Gemara. When the Mitsudo says, Rotzaloymar, that basically is the same thing as Rashi, the Gemara is saying Kloymar. The Mitsudos is acknowledging this pasuk doesn't make any sense. And you have to add a lot of words. He's really drawing from the Targum, which I'll read to you in a moment. Rotzaloymar, Milvad Asher Nosan Lo. It's a short pasuk, missing words. Besides what Shlomo gave her in exchange for what she gave him. Milvad Asher Nosan Lo Me'atzmo Zulas Sholosa. Not besides what she asked. She came and she got a tour and she saw all of the beautiful things at Shlomo Melchadim's palace, and she asked him, "Can I please have a little sample to take back to my country to show my people? We'll put it on display in a museum. Can I have?" Of course you could have. Besides what she requested of Shlomo, Shlomo on his own, he took the initiative to give her gifts, lavish gifts. Why was Shlomo so gracious? Derech Haaretz. If you give me a gift, I respond, I give you a gift. Milvad asher nosan lo me'atzmo zula sholosa, besides what she asked, mul, to correspond to hatishura, the gift, true means the gift, asher hevia hi lishlomo, which she gave Shlomo. So Mordek Vavard here is Derech Haaretz. To give or be a giver, not to be a taker. Many times you come to people and you give them a gift. And what do they? They look at you like these chashuva people. You give them a gift. Oh, thank you very much. And they take the gift. And that's it. It comes to me. It comes to me to take the gift. That's not Derech Eretz. You see here Shlomo HaMelech. There was no one greater than Shlomo HaMelech, the Melech Yisrael. And when you gave him a gift, he gave you back something. It's Derech Eretz, to be a giver, not just to be a taker, no matter how great you are. And that's what the pasuk here says, and that's the short version of the pasuk. It's on self understood that he gave them. Look at the mitzvah.
You don't want to be in debt to be a
but it's more than that. Just derech hanimus. It's just a certain conduct. When someone comes to you and gives you, if you're in a position of authority, if you're a politician, you're a chosh of a person, and someone comes to give you a gift, it's derech eretz. You reciprocate. you have to reciprocate to the same degree. You have to go give them $1 million, but you have to show them a token that I acknowledge you've given me something, and I want to show my appreciation by also giving you something. You learn this from Shlomo HaMelech, to be a giver, not just a taker. Now look at the Targum. Targum Pasuk Yud Beis. Targum Pasuk Yud Zemalkas Shlomo, Yavl Malkas Zemargar. He calls her the Malkas Shavo. Notice that, and maybe there's some significance. I don't know. The Targum always translates Shavo. Shavo is Zemargad. Zemargad. So maybe that somehow sheds light on some ancient type of nation that we can associate with Shavo.
If I wanted to just take a wild guess, say Samarkand.
I don't know what that is. Some is ancient culture, ancient nation.
Actually, still exists.
It still exists.
And there were Jews there until recently. Samarkand.
It's a country.
Samarkand.
It's in the southern Russian.
It's the former Soviet Union? It was part of the Soviet Union?
Yes.
So it's one of the states now?
Southern part of Russia.
In one of the stands.
Southern part of Russia.
What is the reason for
this? I want to read that. Look what it says. They were Malka Shloima Yahav Lamalka Zimargad Yas Kol Ruso or her request. The Basmine Leva Di Yahav Law. Here's the key word of the Targum. This is where the Mitsudos and the Radak are getting it from. Leva Di Yahav La Chilufe. In exchange, besides what he gave her in exchange, more the Isias Levas Malka, what she gave the king. Those words do not appear in the pasuk. This has been added into the targum to explain on the pasuk. The Ispenias Ozda, she turned and she went back. La Aroha she the Avdoha and her servants. Okay, so this is the Mitzvos, and this is the Targum. Let's take a look at the Rashi. Rashi Pasuk Yud Beis Milvad Asher Hivya Mishum Kvoy Malcha Yehuda Ksiv Kan. Now the reason, so Rashi also is acknowledging that the Pasuk is not written in a proper form, and the reason why it's changing form, it's Kavoid for the king. You don't want to say that the king gave her more honor than receiving. Being that Sefer Divrei Hayamim, that's a very important yesod according to Rashi's opinion, was all written to give honor to David and his children. So anytime there's something which slightly sheds negative light, we rewrite it. We write it in order that it should come out in a positive form for the king, for Kishon Melech. So if we would say that Shlomo gave, it sounds like Shlomo is subordinate to Malka Shva. Malka Shva is the big Yachsan. She's the queen of the world. And Shlomo Melech is a subordinate. And therefore, Shlomo, he gave her whatever she wanted. And besides, whatever she asked for. Besides what she asked for, he gave her more. It sounds like Shlomo is the weaker of the two. So that's not the point of Sefer Divrei Hayamim. Divrei Hayamim is to show the cover, the grandeur, the honor of Shlomo, and that's why we have to change the form. We have to say, we have to write it. Rashi is telling us, Mishum Kavod Malchi Yehuda Ksiv Kan Demashma Shishmashi Nosno Lo Yoiser. We have to show no fakert. Shlomo had the upper hand, and Malka Shva gave to Shlomo more than Shlomo gave to her. She Nosno Lo Yoiser Mimash Nosan Lo. When Malachim Ksiv, there it says it the way it was. Milvada Sher Nosan Lo Keramelch Devarim Hamutsuyam Beret Yisrael. What did he give her? He gave her things that she did not have access to, things that were only found in Eretz Yisrael that you cannot get in Chutz L'Aretz. Does it exist today, such a thing? Are there things today that, I'm just curious thing, is there anything today you can get only in Eretz Yisrael, you can get in America? People used to always be, you go in Eretz Yisrael, take a package, take this, take that. It's more expensive. Not necessarily. Someone told me,
Jordan,
recently told me.
Water from the Jordan.
That you only can get.
Only in
Eretz Yisrael. They don't import that. Is it good, the water from Jordan?
Yeah.
Yeah?
A lot of miracle type water. Turns into scotch.
Okay. What?
Mud from the Dead Sea.
The mud?
Yeah, right.
That's
yeah,
that's, you can't export that? You can't buy it in America?
No, that's a big question.
What?
They sell mud at the Yamamila.
You can't buy mud in America? You can't go online and buy mud? What?
Same mud
that
you
need.
Afarsimim, the Shemin Afarsimim, even
the schools of Eretz Yisrael. Okay. What is the reason for Sunday? Get a question, please. What is the reason for
Sunday? It's not good to be a taker.
Yeah.
It's not a good meter to take. It's good to give, not to take. Nothing more than that. Yeah. You'll have a long life because it's a certain good midah. If you live with this ideal that you should give instead of taking, that's something which is healthy psychologically. You have a bracha, special bracha to live a long life. Okay, let's go further. Now let me tell you something very interesting. Okay, this is fast. Let me first tell you a look in Malachim. Okay, in Sefer Malachim, there is a Rashi. Now, the Rashi over here in Sefer Divrei Hayamim, okay, it's not really Rashi. Who wrote it? We don't know. How reliable are they? It's a very big question. We don't really know where they come from. But Sefer Malachim, L'chor, the Rashis are the real deal. And there in Sefer Malachim Perik Yud, where we have the same Sefer Malka Shva, I told you about this Rashi. I want to read you in this because I want to tell you a little interesting deek in this Rashi. That Tidain, the king, gave her everything that she wanted. All of her requests. I told you two perushim. Either it means he gave her things that she asked for. She came, she saw beautiful items, objects and items in Eretz Yisrael. She wanted something back with her. He gave it to her. Or it means that he answered her riddles. She asked him moral dilemmas. She asked her very difficult questions about life and about Hashkafa, and he answered all her good questions. Milvad, besides the things that are here in Sefer Melachim, it says Asher Nosan Lo Kiyar HaMelech Shlomo, and then we explained that in Sefer Melachim means the same thing, there was an exchange. Okay, Rashi, now you don't have this Rashi, this is the Rashi in Sefer Melachim. Pasuk Perig Yud Perig Pasuk Yud Gimel. The Rashi there says, it's in parentheses. In parentheses, it's not in, I don't know what the significance of the parentheses. Bo Aleha, he had with her marital relations. The noilad mimena. So what did she ask? She asked him, can you please be intimate with me? That's what she asked him. That was the sho'al called cheftza asher sho'ala. Interesting, the pasuk.
That's why it's in parentheses, because it's not...
It's been censored.
It's not believed to be the real...
Would Rashi really say this? And the Mishmat Zof, he claims that he searched in all the, I don't know exactly, he searched, but in all the midrashim that are known to exist, doesn't exist such a chazal. In any esoteric midrash you've ever heard of, such a chazal does not appear, that Shlomo HaMelech was born on Malka Shva, and she became pregnant, and Rashi says here, Bo Oleho, V'noilad Mimena Nevucha D'netzar. So Rashi still means that Nebuchadnezzar was born from this union, which came because it was 410 years until the Nebuchadnezzar destroyed. That means he had to be 400. He had to be at least 400 and I don't know, 10 years old. Right. So simply it means a grandson, a great grandson, a great great grandson. Fine. The Hechrif Habayis. Let me read the whole Rashi. And he destroyed the Bayis Sha'omad, that stood for Tof Yud Shana for 410 years. Bechelek Shel Yud Beishvatim Meho Ari Zal. This comes from the Arizal. I'm not sure if the Arizal actually says this. Okay, but this is what it says over here in this Rashi. Now the questions are, first of all, it's extremely difficult, such a concept that basically means that David's own great grandson destroyed his own Beis Hamikdash, and indeed that was part of the klala. The klala was hidni making malecha mitoch Beis. I don't know if you remember the exact pasuk.
By the goyim it doesn't go after the mother.
By the goyim it does not go after the mother. By klal Yisrael, what do you mean?
Right. So eventually
it means the descendant. Okay, it means the descendant. Okay, it's a question. What is the mother, the father? Yeah.
In the Ethiopian folklore, there is a tradition.
But there's a king
there's a king that was a grandson, was born from Shiva, from Melech.
Could be, okay. Could be. Maybe she was Megayer.
No, that's right. But it's an old from Shiva. That the Aron Kodesh came to them and they are guarding it.
We don't know. Could be.
You can't have it both ways. You can't have it from East India.
Maybe she was Megayer.
There's a tradition in Yemen too. There's a tradition that the tribes in Yemen eventually went to Africa, and they did. There's a tribe in Africa. They supposedly brought a Aron Kodesh with them, and the genetic is traced back to the Jews. So there's a lot of.
Okay, so maybe she was Megayer. We don't know the exact status. Maybe she was different. The mother was also Jewish. But Hashem told David after the chait of Bathsheba, I am going to cause someone to rise up from your own house, hinni makim, and it's going to make trouble. So similar refers to Avshalom. But the Mepharshim say no, it refers to Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar, according to this Rashi, was a direct descendant of David HaMelech. David HaMelech, he built the Beis HaMikdash, and his own grandson, great-great-grandson, that destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. David laid the foundations, and Nebuchadnezzar came and destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, because we had our own we destroyed ourselves due to our averos that came from no one but us. Now, why in the world does the Rashi tell us that Nebuchadnezzar destroyed the Beis HaMikdash that existed for 410 years in the chelik of the 12 Shvatim? It's bizarre enough that he tells us that Shlomo was born by Sheva and had a child, but what's this 400? We know 410 years. We know there are 12 Shvatim. What is Rashi coming to add by telling us these numbers? So I saw in the Mishpitzah Zavikota source an amazing pshat. Nebuchadnezzar, there are a lot of letters in Nebuchadnezzar. It's a very long name. Nebuchadnezzar, it's not Nebuchadnezzar, not Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar. Now there are the decimal numbers and the digits. What are the decimal numbers, the digits in the Nebuchadnezzar? They are the Beis, the 2, the Vav is the 6, and the Dalet. What is 2, 6, and 4 equal? 12. 12, right? What are the other remaining letters in the Nebuchadnezzar? Nun, 50, Chaf, 20, another Nun, another 50, Tzadi is 90, Reish is 200. What do those numbers equal? 410. So in Rashi here is alluding an amazing idea. In the name Nebuchadnezzar, the Nebuchadnezzar itself, who is a descendant of David, of Shlomo, in the name itself alludes to he is the pull the lever on the hand. No, not the executioner. There's a lever and there's a plank, and they open up the plank. But Nebuchadnezzar in his name itself alludes to the Korban. The bias will last for 410 years, and for the chelik of the 12 Shvatim, and he will bring that to an end. That's why someone learned in Rashi, why Rashi mentioned this number here, 410 and 12 Shvatim. Rashi here.
Rashi?
I don't know Rashi. No, I don't know. I don't know who. It can't be. Right, it can't possibly. Arizal is 400 years. Obviously, this is what it says here. So maybe, first of all, I don't know, maybe it's not the Arizal. Nem he aleph resh yud zayin lamed. It sounds like to me, meho Arizal. So either the editor who wrote this put this together, basically saying that this is not Rashi. He's trying to tell us that this is not Rashi. This is someone in very, very recently, relatively recently, added this into the Rashi, and he's trying to point out that don't make any mistake and think that Rashi wrote this. He did not write this. There is no Chazal, no such thing. This is Divrei Kabbalah, and it's been written by. It comes from the Arizal. That's what it says here in this printed edition. I don't know how accurate this printed edition is. Go look in some of the other editions and see what it says. This is a famous Rashi, bizarre Rashi, in Sefer Melachim in parentheses.
Famously bizarre.
Okay, so this concludes pretty much the sugya of Malka Shvo. We spoke last week a lot more about the difference, but we'll leave it here with this. Okay, we'll stop here.